High Vibe Mama is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hello, rock stars. I'm your host, Carrie Price. Welcome to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I am so thrilled to be discussing all things health, wellness, lifestyle, motherhood, and more. Ready to get vibed? Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back to the High Vibe Mama podcast. We're actually going to switch the vibe, what we're speaking about. Before it was like all things health and you guys wanted me to talk about the state of the world. And there was like really savage and I don't know, it was awesome energy and it was about health. And now we're kind of switching back into like the vibe. We're going to talk about health, but we're also going to talk about like emotions and energy and all that. And I have a really awesome guest, Dr. Martha Nessler. I've been wanting her to be on my podcast for a long time. So thank you for being here, Dr. Martha Nessler. And anyway, you guys know how I like to start out the podcast. I just always like to start out with a song and I ask my guests, like, what's your favorite song? And they kind of tell me and then we just play it a little bit, maybe to get into all the feels because you know how much I love music and rhythm and motion. It's kind of my jam. So, and I guess this is Dr. Martha Nessler has like a, is she 8 months old now? A baby?
9.5 months old.
Okay, 9.5 months old. And this is her daughter's favorite song, I guess. And so we're going to just play it. And I've honestly never heard it. So I'm excited to play it. It's called There Was Jesus by Zach Williams.
And Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, yes. Oh, I haven't listened to her in a long time. Okay, so here we go. We're going to press play on this. It's going to play. Can you hear it or only me? Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear it.
You can't hear it. Well, it's playing. So I guess let's listen to this and tap into this. I've never heard this song, so. Oh my gosh, this is like a perfect song. There was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground. This is cute that it's your daughter's favorite song.
She loves it. I couldn't see it then, but I can see it
now. Well, there was Jesus. Wow. I love it.
It makes me really emotional. It makes me emotional that you love my daughter's song because she loves that song.
Oh my gosh. I've never heard that song, so I need to add that to my, I have a playlist that I keep. It's called Grief and Loss, and I keep it, and I listen to different songs on there, like when I need all the feels and feeling stuff. So anyway, thanks for sharing that with me. That's a new song I'm going to add to my playlist. So let's get into the interview here. So tell us who you are, what you do, and just all the things about Dr. Martha Nessler.
So only because I've been there, done that. I'm a chiropractor. So I'm a chiropractor, had an amazing chiropractic practice, fell in love with the chiropractor in New Zealand. So then I moved to New Zealand where I didn't practice. And I coached chiropractors and women entrepreneurs. And then I also opened doTERRA New Zealand in Open doTERRA in New Zealand. So quite a little change. And then last year, actually, when I fell in love with the song, I was traveling back for a conference. We just got a new house, my husband and I. And basically, yeah, the whole world's craziness caused us probably, I thought the most grief was losing my mom when I was two. And then I thought more grief was never getting to experience having a mom, because my stepmom was super interesting. Then I thought it was more grief moving to New Zealand, but the most grief was traveling and never going back and leaving our house, our belongings, leaving my husband's 5-year-old daughter, and then finding out I was pregnant here. And I just wanted to stay present my whole pregnancy. And I wanted to not, I didn't want to feel lost and I didn't want to feel the grief. And I wanted to stay present in what was blessing me at that time. And I listened to that song every day. I was present. And the story about how she loves it is, it was late night and she was born. She was born emergency C-section about 3.5 weeks early, almost four. Uh-huh. And my husband was sleeping because it was quite a late cesarean section. And she started crying and I was like, I can't get up. And she's crying in my arms. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to wake him up. So I turned on, and that was the first song on the playlist, and she stopped crying. So,
oh my gosh, I love that.
Now she goes to bed with it on repeat. My whole family laughs because they all know the song. And that's her white noise. There was Jesus, Dolly Parton, Zach Williams.
Oh my gosh, I love that story. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So music's so powerful in so many different ways. So yeah, cool. So so tell us about, like, so I know I've heard your story, but obviously our listeners haven't heard your story, and your story has lots of layers. I know it does, because I listen to your lives and I listen to all the things that you do in your Facebook group and everything. And so I don't know, I guess kind of like take the listeners on that journey of like your story. I know you've experienced like lots of grief, but you've also been super successful in business, you know, having a baby, all of the things. So kind of like take us down that path.
Oh, so my mom did die. It was 2 years and 4 months. She got diagnosed. So I'm born December 1979, showing my age, but you can't see me. But you'd be like, girl, you're what? Gonna be 42? Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
So having said that, she found a lump on November 81, and then December on my birthday, she went to bake me a cake at the grocery store and collapsed. And well, she was dead by April of 1982. So I grew up without my mom, and my dad, very 100% German, very stoic, had already lost his dad when he was 7, actually to suicide, didn't really know how to help us, right? And part of helping us, he thought, well, he would marry a woman. Okay, great idea, right? He would marry a woman. So I not only didn't have my mom, I had a lot of loss of childhood, to be honest, from a stepmom who was not in a position to be a mother. I have, you know, done so much work. I have no frustration or anger towards her, but I'll be honest, I just didn't really have a childhood like most kids would have. And funny that I had a daughter, because I used to tell myself I never want to have a daughter because I don't want to be a bad mom, right? And I also said I never wanted to be a stepmom, which I also have 4 bonus girls. So never say never, everybody.
I didn't know you have all girls. Oh. All girls?
All girls, yeah, and I only wanted boys my whole life. And so, oh, yeah, it's quite funny, but I'll get to that because, yeah. So anyways, long story short, then just things happened, right? You know, those relationships that don't work, the ones where people lie and, you know, loss kind of compounds itself. And about 26, I really realized someone told me, a friend I love, I needed to do the work. And I started doing the work, and I set out to on a mission to find gratitude in it all. And to really find gratitude in the things that hurt the most. And as I did that and I uncovered that, I began to see that there is, you know, no matter how gross it is, there's goodness in all the grossness, right?
Yeah.
So that was really the mission I set out on. And I made a promise to myself at 29 that I would no longer mourn the death of my mom, that I instead would do life for the both of us. So she died at 29. So I ran the Boston Marathon. I first ran the Chicago Marathon for the American Cancer Society in her honor and raised money to do that. And then I ran Boston. I qualified for Boston and ran Boston. And as I ran Boston, I can remember running through the streets and thinking my mom would have never lived to do this, right? I was 29 and a half. She would have never lived to do this. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, I just decided that my mom and I, where I had looked at my life so differently, Carrie, I'd looked at my life that I was not doing life with my mom, but I realized I was actually more special than all the other girls because every day I was with my mom, right?
Totally.
And that kind of began to like transform the way that I viewed who I was and my place in this earth. So it's quite transformational for me, but it's funny how God sometimes says, but I'm not done yet. You know, I'm going to take you a step farther in your transformation. So I moved to New Zealand, and when I'm, my room gets quite warm. I'm in Florida. I moved to New Zealand, and I moved there for someone, and two things happened. One, I suddenly was the mother, the bonus mother. I didn't want to use the word stepmother because my dad remarried, and she's a blessing, and I call her a bonus. So I wanted to be a bonus in their lives, and I really believe that my experience from my stepmother has allowed me to be an awesome bonus mother. I'm no longer with their father, but they're still in my lives. They're 16, 18, and 27, and when I met them, they were 6, 8 and 17. And I feel quite blessed that they still call me BMM, Bonus Mom Marth. And so I feel quite blessed about that. Yeah, me too. But what happened then is I experienced the next level of grief. So I think it's like sometimes we think we're superheroes. And I'm like, listen, I made it. Like I'm here. I've leveled up, everyone. Hello, world. I'm like at Pike's Peak.
Yeah.
And I really struggled when I moved to New Zealand. I was like isolated in a small town. I was lonely, and you know, I didn't want to tell my then partner, that's the term for boyfriend, partner in New Zealand. I didn't want to tell him that I was unhappy because I didn't want him to think it was him. And I remember we went to this counselor who, funny enough, was a counselor 2 days a week and a sheep farmer 3 days a week. His name was Ian, and he was just like cheery-faced chap with like blonde hair, and he's like, sorry I'm late, I had to tend to the sheep this morning. He sits down and he goes, tell me what's going on. And he goes, you're in the grief cycle. I'm like, no, I've already dealt with grief, my mom died. And like, it was almost like I was supersonic, like that was it, right?
Yeah.
And anyways, he goes, Martha, you tell me everything you left in the States. And I started going through my friend, you know, my things first, right? You know, like my desk. And he goes, like, what else did you leave? Your career, your business, your family.
Yeah.
And the list went on, right? Basically, I had my duvet cover and my clothes.
Yeah.
And I then had to re-go through grief. And that was about the time I fell in love with the oils. And so now, I find great joy in supporting women through the process and men of healing from their grief, but also finding tools, which is how we connect, right? Finding those tools to get through the emotions that are heavy and the emotions as they creep up.
Right.
Well, so this
yeah, there's a question I want to ask. I guess this is a great topic because it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it's kind of like Cancer Awareness Month. And then I love talking about health and grief. I think people think they're separate, but like they're not separate. Like the physical body and the emotional body is connected. And mm-hmm. so we actually have to address both, right? It's not separate 100%. Like how people think it is. It's like it's connected so intertwinedly you don't even know. So I guess I want to ask, because your mom went through that with cancer, what are your thoughts and feelings about just cancer awareness and your feelings on that? And then I also would love to know, like, what are your favorite tools to use for grief, or even talking to women too about like how do we take care of the titties, right? Like how do we take care of like not even that, but like our body, right? Because I know that, you know, the cause is the cure. I always say that. And I'm actually wearing pink. I know you guys can't see, but I am wearing pink. But I know there's a lot of pink washing that like happens, right? But I know, I mean, you can even attest to this. Cancer has caused a lot of people grief, right? Or like just in general. And then the way that it's even perceived on the media, it's with so much fear and negativity and grief, right? Like it's not empowering, or this is how we can get through it. And so I guess I kind of wanted to talk about that since it just kind of came up, and that's kind of how I do it on my podcast. Like, things come up in my brain. I'm like, okay, so let's talk about this. So take it away.
It's perfect. Cause I'm like, do I just keep talking? Grief has happened so much. I'm like a grief magnet, but that's cool. So yeah, it's interesting. Cause when I was 22 years old, I can remember specifically driving over the railroad tracks with my then boyfriend. I was about to go to chiropractic college. He was going to go and become a lawyer. And he said to me, what do you want to do when we get older? And I said, well, I'm not going to be alive. And he said, what do you mean you're not going to be alive? And I said, well, my mom died at 29. So, I mean,
yeah,
and I just remember looking at me. And the reason I did that was because two reasons. One, often they would ask me, my mom didn't die from breast cancer. She died from a really rare cancer that affected her soft tissue of her reproductive and her digestive system. Right. And I've had digestive problems since I was 8 years old is when I can remember them. And I've been diagnosed with celiac, quite significant celiac. I have an EpiPen and stuff. And so I guess I always just thought I would die. And that was the frame of mind I was raised in. Like, the doctor was like, you know, we don't know if you're going to have this. Like, only 1 in 5 million women have it. And, you know, your brother was in there when you were probably in there when it was in there. You know, it was very confusing space, especially because I was raised in extremely, at that time, allopathic home. So fast forward, I go to chiropractic school at 22, right? Like shortly after this. And I can remember judging a person I am today, right? I was like looking at the chiropractors that were like more natural in their way of being and functioning and what they were telling me about the body and kind of laughing. And God has a way of giving me humor, right? So he gives me like a really hot intern. And so I was like, okay, I'll listen to you. But having said that, we did start dating, and he did give me a lot of books and a lot of information to whip myself. And what I learned at that point, and why I needed to tell you that part of the story, is for those of you who are listening right now, and you're running that narrative in your head. You're running that narrative that because my mom died, or because my aunt died, or my best friend died, I'll die. I can tell you right now, that narrative is taking you down the wrong path. Because the first thing I'll tell you is your thoughts create your reality. And what you think becomes your reality. And the next I'll tell you is epigenetics says you can alter what is already pre-coded in your body, right? And
yeah, isn't our genes, it's only like 30% is our genetics for our health, and the rest is like lifestyle and environment, right?
100%,
so right. We have a lot of control.
Tons of control. We have more control than we want to accept sometimes, right?
Right.
So for me, at that point, at around 24 or 5, I took every course I could on nutrition. And, you know, for me, I really try to eat foods that don't inflame my body. So I stay away from the grains. I stay away from like corn and things like that. You know, I do raw cheese, right? But I don't do a lot of dairy. I definitely would not drink milk. And then obviously working on my thoughts, the patterns that I think, and really holding myself at a different vibe with the high vibe mama here, to a different vibe, right? That because our cells, they feed off frequency. And if we live in a negative vibe or we feel negative, we're going to function negative, right? And, also using essential oils, because essential oils, they not only work with the frequency and the vibration, but they do wonders with our cells. And so, for me, I believe I have complete control of my destiny. You know, I can imagine the old Martha at 22 would have been deathly. I don't think I even wanted kids, would have been deathly afraid to have a daughter because I would die. Because that's what happened. Basically, my mom had two kids and died. And now I'm like, no, I tell my daughter every day, I'm living to at least 101. I'm 100% sure of that. After that, we might be changing my diapers, but I'm not really sure.
Right.
So I do believe, if you're listening right now, that possibilities are endless, right? And I hope that this gives you a little bit of hope. I always say hope is helping open people's eyes, and this might open your eyes to maybe what else could be besides what you think right now. So.
Right. Well, and a lot of people, when they always tell me, they're like, well, cancer runs in my family, obesity runs in my family. And I'm like, actually, it's the habits that run in your family, right? It's the lifestyle habits. It's not actually like just because this runs in your family, we take on, just like you're talking about, like we take on just what runs in our family and it becomes our identity. But that doesn't have to be, because if only 30% is epigenetics, then, or our genetics, then the other part, right, the 70%, like we get to control and we get to decide what that is. And yeah, of course, like if there is cancer in your family, you're going to take extra precautions. But like, let's just be, you know, honest with everything that's going on in the world right now. We realize how disempowered people are with their health, right? And this is where, 100%. Yeah, I love like essential oils, like coming in or even changing up your lifestyle. And so I guess kind of let's talk about that. Like, what are some things like when you made that transition? So you went to chiropractic school, all of that, you started making those transitions. Like, what happened in your body? Like, what things did you even notice physically, emotionally, like everything? Or you're just like, wow, this is, I remember when I had that aha moment, I was just like, almost like life started then. We're just like, wow, I didn't know my body was this powerful almost. You know what I mean?
It was amazing. I mean, I can remember, I mean, the reason I, you know, ended up dating a guy and listening to the guy was because I was on acid reflux medicine. I was on like 3 prescriptions, 2 over the counter and a pack of Rolaids a day, right? And he says, like, let me just show you what I can do. After like 3 adjustments, I was off everything. And I'm like, okay, that's unbelievable. Like, you know, I didn't believe that could happen. Right.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, I'll listen to one more thing you have to say, you know? And another funny thing was when I would go to undergrad, because when you're inflamed, you look inflamed. Okay. And so my dad would come to football games. He'd be like, are you drunk? I'd be like, no, I'm not drunk. My dad, but like, you look drunk. What I was inflamed. Because I didn't know I had celiac, right? So once I learned a few things at school, I took myself to get tested, right? Uh-huh. So I started eating anti-inflammatory and learning about like inflammatory foods. And all the puffiness went away. All the redness went away. All the swelling went away. So my dad would see me. He's like, you must be drinking less now that you're in chiropractic school. I'm like, Dad, I've never been a big drinker. And you know, it was interesting. My dad's changed his whole life now, right? Because we're from a farm. Okay, I'm from a farm. You eat like, you know, you eat meat and potatoes unless you're on the road. Then you eat KFC or something because you're at a kettle show. So it was like very interesting to, you know, be the first person in my family not to eat fried chicken. But here we are today. So.
Oh, well, my family kind of grew up in the South. So I grew up on like fried okra and like fried chicken. And you probably know because you live in Florida, right? Like it's very popular, like sweet tea and like all the things, right? So yeah, totally. I love all that. So and this is a question that my viewers always want me to ask people because I guess they just love to hear from other moms to feel like maybe they're not alone or they feel the same. Like with everything that you've been through, like grief with your health and everything, like what is your opinion or state or like how do you feel about the current state of health of the world right now?
Some people get it, some people don't. It's very confusing, but I guess I know that I'm doing my part. I know that I'm doing my part to share and educate. I'm quite saddened by the route that's being taken. I'm quite saddened by the information that's been given out and the disinformation that's being given out. But, you know, my only hope is that I can leave a legacy to my daughter for true health, right? And that I can leave that legacy for, I always say, I'm trying to get you as many friends as I can, Winnie, right? Trying to get you as many friends as I can. So I can do as much to empower moms, right? So that they can make choices for their children and that Winnie has a bunch of friends who get it, you know what I mean? So I don't leave her like friendless. But I don't have like a negative view on it because I'm trying to stay positive. Does that make sense? I'm trying to hold the reality of there's another side to what I see. And it makes me sad, but at the same time, sadness gets me nowhere. So I'm just being really proactive in the pursuit of passing on knowledge, so to speak. I don't know if that.
No, I love that. I love that. And you talked about the grief of even moving and the grief of all the things that you've experienced. And I think with everything that's happened during the quote unquote like pandemic, I don't really like to call it that, but like whatever we want to call like what's happening right now. There's been a lot of grief, right? Like, and we've even seen that with the stats, like mental illness is going up, like more people have died of suicides and all of those things. And so I guess I want to ask, like, what are some tools? Because I know like a lot of DMs that I get like this, like, how are you staying positive? Like, how are you like, this is caused, you know, because there is so much fear and fear is like the lowest vibrating emotion that you can feel like before like low existence, right? Or like not even breathing or feeling. So what are some tools or what are some things that you would share with some moms, like to maybe stay in the vibration of love, or even tools that you've been using to maybe stay proactive and to help your emotions to stay grounded during this time?
First of all, I'm going to tell you, I 100% agree with you, because I kind of took a turn and was really focusing more on coaching chiropractors and health professionals. And suddenly it's like God kept nudging me to help people, what I say, shed their shit and shine. So I would love, to help that. You.
Shed your shit and shine. Yeah.
I know I went to copyright and the attorney, she's like, are you serious? I was like, I'm 100% shed your shit and shine. She's like, I'm going to put this through. I can't wait to see what the government says. Well, if the government doesn't let that through, we've got problems, because there's a lot of things they're letting through right now. But anyways,
yes, so, amen.
Here's how we have to look at this, is we have to look at everything that happens to us like this, is, am I allowing this thing to be an anchor or a root? And you're like, well, wait, anchors root you. So like, don't go there, because anchors and roots do the same thing, but they do it very differently. So an anchor is a giant, like iron, big iron object that a boat throws down to do what? To stay stationary and not move. Now, you can get the illusion that the boat's moving. You know, if I'm up in a plane, I don't know the boat is anchored, right? And the boat might wiggle a little, and the boat might kind of move a little, and they might even spin around, but it goes nowhere. So that's one option. And a lot of you may be there. And I was so there with my mother's death, so there with my immigration, right? So there with my childhood, so there with other things. Like, this is who I am. And it was like, sometimes it was multiple anchors, right? It's like the anchor of this and the anchor of losing my mom and the anchor of this. And I felt like I was never going anywhere, no matter how hard I tried. And if you can close your eyes and visualize that for a second, like the boat's wiggling, but you're not going anywhere, right? So then what's anchoring you? Shit. It's all the shit that's happened in life, right? And I can say that because I'm from a farm. And let me tell you, one day my dad said to me, shovel all that shit and put it over there. And I said, why are we moving? He goes, because right here in the barn, it's worth nothing. But if I take it out there and I put it on the field, it's fertilizer and it's worth something. So I want you to think about those words. And that's the reason I use that word, because right now, probably the way it's showing up in your life, it's not serving you. It's like stinking up the whole world you live in, right?
Yeah.
But what if you were to take that anger and you were to replace it and you were to visually see yourself, you know, and do the work around finding the gratitude, finding what came out of those situations? Because if, and I get that's not something easy. It's like a jagged little pill, right? That's my other favorite song by Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill. It's a jagged little pill to swallow. But I will tell you this. There is gratitude. I can find reasons. I'm actually grateful that my mother passed away. And I know some of you are like, turning this off right now. She's crazy. And some of you are leaning in. I would encourage all of you to lean in, because I'm kind of funny. Sometimes it might get funnier. Who knows? It's a pretty heavy topic. But what about if you were to envision yourself rooted in where you came from? And the shit of life was the fertilizer that, think about if my mom hadn't died, I wouldn't be here today. And think about, if your life gets impacted by me sitting here today, because I did the work to unanchor and get rooted in my shit, so that now I'm fertilizing and growing from where I've been. Think about that. So there's a little bit of gratitude, isn't it? There's a little bit of goodness that comes from this stuff. So you have to ask yourself, how long do I want to be anchored? Because anchors, you're not moving. You can look like you're moving the whole. Hey, and you lady who's pretending, been there, done that. Okay, I was super successful chiropractor. No one knew how broken I was on the inside. No one knew how hurt I was, right? No one knew the tears I shed.
Right. And I always say the hashtag live without pretending, because 100%. So many of us hide and pretend. And it's like all of us have issues, like we just do. That song, you know, I got issues. That song. So anyway, I love what you're saying. I actually had this come up for me this week, what you were just talking about, like, because I'm stepping into like a different path, and like, you know, I'm like writing a book and I'm doing all of these things, and I had this like feeling in my heart, just like, oh, all my family, because, you know, I've had multiple deaths, and it's like all these people had to die for me to step into this power. That's crazy. And then I wanted to shrink back and be like, well, no, I can't step into this power, because then that means, am I going to forget them? Is that bad? And then it was like, no, then I had to come over here and be like, no, because then it's like living out their legacy. Like my life is a celebration of their life, and having to pivot and just know, even like as this high vibe mama that I am, you know what I mean? Like you have to go into the pit before you like find the peace, you know what I mean? Like you have to go into this really pit of darkness, and then you find like this light. And so just know that we all have it, you know what I mean? And
I want to say this, what you just said is quantum physics, right? That you can't be the high vibe that you are without, like, the highest someone vibes, they also have vibed that low, right? Because that's how it is. Like if something goes up 200 meters in the air, it's going to fall down 200 meters. That's just how life is, right? So we can't actually experience the highs without the lows. And often when you've experienced like multiple suicides, or deaths, you've experienced the lowest. So of course your body is going to also take you to the new level of the highest. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because that's how it works. And so really eloquently who you are and what you stand for without even probably realizing high vibe is because you've vibed so low, you can express the fullest level of high vibing.
Hey, I love that. I guess that's why I was thinking, so I just shared this on my Facebook. I haven't shared it on Instagram, but my quick story is we all had nicknames, and I had a Texas grandpa who raised me and an English grandma. So the names, the nicknames that came out of them for us were like crazy. Just, they didn't make sense, but we all had several nicknames that we went by. And then my friend would come over and be like, hey, that's not your name. I'm like, yeah, I just go by it though. So like if they say that, then I come, because they know they're calling me. So one of them was Buffy, was my nickname because of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and of that show. And just like her vigor and like her savageness, that's why my papa used to call me that, is Buffy.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And so it was interesting, I saw this thing pop up on Facebook of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and like all her episodes, and I just automatically had all these feels, and I was like, I could hear my papa who raised me calling me that name, right? And so it's interesting, I decided to look up what was like really the plot of this and everything, and I'm just going to read it to you because I was like, wow, was this like totally inspired? And I call these God winks. Like, do you know, like when something comes full circle and then you feel like God's winking at you, like, hey, I got you. Like, I got you. You know what I mean? And I'm like, hey, this was a God wink for me to actually read this. And I don't know. It was just, I went back to like when I was like 9 years old and he was calling me that, you know, and like when I would be like, you know, snap and have that attitude, he's like, Buffy, you know, and I feel like I would have like that little knife and be like, oh, anyway. And now I have a 3-year-old daughter who's like the exact same. I'm like, why'd you give me a daughter that was like me when I was little? You know what I mean? Anyway, so basically what this series was about was Buffy was a lifelong young woman chosen by fate to battle evil forces. This mystical calling grants her powers that dramatically increase her physical strength, endurance, ability, accelerated healing, intuition, and a limited degree of precognition, usually from her prophetic dreams. Buffy is aided by a watcher who guides and teaches and trains her. She is known for her reluctant hero who wants to live a normal life. However, she learns to embrace her destiny as a vampire slayer. And so I was just saying, like, you know, wow, like I'm still slaying vampires and demons, but I could relate this to so many different things in my life. And yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was like, okay, this was God kind of speaking to me and being like, I've got you. Your watch guides are still looking out for you, and I've always have been looking out for you. And
totally,
this was like an inspired thing that he was supposed to call me. You know, I mean, I had so many different other names, which we won't name some of them. Some of them were had F words in them. And
well, let's not do that today. Let's keep it high vibe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Sometimes depending on how you say the F word, I think it can be high vibe.
No, I totally. I know. I just didn't want to take our emotions there if it was weird. You know what I
No,
mean? Like,
it was weird. So anyway, I know it's weird, you know, and some people would think that that's like, oh, that's, but it's not weird, okay? And I think sometimes we think things are weird, so we don't want to like tap into certain things,
totally.
and to be able to feel our emotions. And that's really what I've learned over the past 3 years is, number one, intentionally moving my body. Not just moving it because I'm like, I know I'm supposed to exercise, but intentionally moving it. But then I started using intentionally the oils for emotions. I've always used them physically, but then I started using them intentionally for. So I kind of wanted to talk about that. What are your favorite oils for grief, for to shift emotions? And then overall, I guess wellness, like what are your favorite things or tools that you're using to be proactive? And to, you know, how you say it, like shift your shit
Shed your shit.
yeah,
Shed your shit.
shed it when the shit comes raining down, like, you
Shake
know.
it off. Shake it off now. So my hands down favorite oil for shifting emotion, shedding shit, releasing grief is Melissa.
I know, and I wanted to ask you that. I commented on your post because I
I
always
know,
thought
I think
Melissa
it
was for
next to
viruses.
it. It's a very it's a very high vibrating oil. It's the oil of light emotionally. It's for suicide, it's for depression, it's for HIV type viruses. Like, it's a heavy hitter, right? And it's kind of like you were saying, you know, fear is such a obsolete emotion, almost like you feel obsolete, right? Well, grief is such a heavy emotion. And it's funny, until I learned about the emotions of it, it was something about Melissa I just gravitated towards. It was when I was going through my hardest times in New Zealand. And you know, I was using a lot of the other oils that like the mood management kit, but there was something about Melissa, right? And I remember the day that I opened up the book and it said it's the oil of light. And I thought 100% it is. Because when you're in grief, you're in darkness. When you're in grief, you're living in the past. When you're living in grief, you're living what was, and you cannot see forward. You just can't see forward. And
Totally.
so what I love is that Melissa, I think it brings light. And then
So how do you use it? Are you putting it like on, like in your crown
oh,
chakra
it's
or over your
so funny.
heart?
Like, look at me looking for it, because it's when I talk about it, I'm like, where are you, sister? Here you are. So what I do is I actually love a process called what I call the Melissa Reset. So if you're going through a lot, if you've just come out of a deep space of grief, or you don't want to go there, or you're just feeling down or flat, this is what's the Melissa Reset, right? So, and I'm not giving medical advice on here. So there's a
Well,
reason you should.
I already have a
Okay,
disclaimer on my
I'm
podcast,
so
so don't
sorry.
worry about it. I have a disclaimer.
So what I do is, and I feel like you guys can see me, but you can't. So just kind of visualize this. I put a drop under my tongue and I hold it for 5 seconds and I drink a big glass of water. And then I place my thumb. So I take off the lid, and then the clear thing is called an orifice. I put my thumb on it and I take my thumb and I press it into the roof of my mouth. And it's kind of like I hold it there for 5 seconds. I call it the intense thumb suck. And I press it there. And on day one of my Melissa reset, it's a 30-day reset that I believe gets the best results. And I've done this with lots of people. New Zealand, actually, there's a lot of grief in the farming community.
And don't you put it on your big toe or something too, or on your
No,
spine?
I don't.
Oh, okay.
But you can put blue tansy there,
Oh, okay. I knew there
which
was
is
something
like,
with like the toe. And
yeah.
it's interesting. So I have a grief blend that I make
Wait, hold on.
and
I got to finish this real
okay, go.
quick, because I just want to make sure if you're lingering on and you don't just do that. So the first day of the Melissa reset, every hour on the hour, you press your thumb into the roof of your mouth and suck it. Every hour on the hour. And then you do a second drop like midday or night. Some people get so much energy from this and they get so like illuminated they can't sleep. So maybe if you are a sleeping problem person, like all the new moms are like, that won't matter, right? Because I'm like, it doesn't matter to me. Could drink it all day long. Do it more in the midday. But so then the next days 1 through 29, you'll just do an intense thumb suck and a drop under the tongue. And anytime you catch yourself going there, do an intense thumb suck, right? So you
Wow.
can do that a little bit more if you need to. And then
Okay,
the
we're all gonna
emotional
be sucking
stability.
our thumbs with Melissa after this.
Well, there, I don't just do it with Melissa. Like, frankincense is really good if you're feeling flat, right? Or
well, I'm excited for holy basil, even though you can't take it internally. Like, it's such a high vibe oil, holy basil, yeah, that's amazing. Coming out, and I've been wanting that oil as a permanent product forever. So I just added that and Melissa to my grief blend, and I've been like formulating it over, I don't know, the past like 3 or 4 years, and it's kind of come together.
The other oils I use during that time to support me are adaptive, forgive console. I put forgive and console on my heart. I put adaptive inside my ankles, my wrists, and I put rose around my eyes, the back of my neck, and on my forehead.
I love rose. And the interesting thing is I've never really liked Melissa, but recently I have. Like, I always hated Elevation. I'm actually glad they're discontinuing it because I absolutely hate that oil. I think it stings, but I thought it was because it had Melissa in it. I never really liked it, but I know like tons of people love it. And I know tons of people love Cheer. It's not like my favorite, but I love Motivate because I feel like there's some energy there with Motivate. So yeah, those are some oils. I also, I feel like Copaiba really helps too, because I know like when I would feel like really deep in grief, I'd feel like a little bit of shakiness, and a little bit of like heart. And so I felt like that really helped me calm down as well.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Using Copaiba like over the heart and in the back, and then taking it like internally. So those are some different tools too. And then, I guess a tool I want to share with the people listening is, if you could breathe using the aromatherapy, there's so much magic that happens when you can just stop and breathe. And I realized that it's just something that I was doing too. Like when I'd feel like I was in the pit, we just hold our breath, or we're just like so stunned. Yeah, we just stop breathing. We're just like, and if you could just pause and breathe, it's an inhale through the nose and exhale through the nose. Or if you want a little bit of, let more fire out, you can breathe through your mouth. So inhale through the nose, then breathe, exhale through your mouth. Or if you want just to tap in to, I'm just giving you a little bit of breathing tips. You just want to tap in to rest and digest. You need to cover your right nostril, and you only breathe through your left nostril. And that helps you get into rest and digest. I know it feels so weird, but you just cover it and you just breathe through that. Breathe through the left side of your body. So those are some helpful things. I guess we're going to wrap it up here. Is there a quote, or is there anything that people listening that maybe you want to leave off with, or say, or have some intuition to, I don't know, leave with?
So, what I found for me, and I know this is not for everybody, right? Was that the greatest thing we can do when we lose someone is continue living. I know that if my mom looked down and would have saw me not living, would have saw me paralyzed in fear, would have saw me hiding and playing small and not fully living my life, it would have broken her heart. And I really remind myself of that sometimes, because sometimes, you guys, I get it 100%. I feel all the feels, right? I'm like, I'm angry. You know, like my mom wasn't there.
Yeah.
I can't even talk about it. She wasn't at my child's birth, right? And I just think, you know, I'm really mad. And I thought, I'm so mad that you're never going to meet your grandma. It wasn't even as mad that I didn't get to meet her, that my daughter wasn't going to get to meet her grandma, right? But then I thought, I got to keep writing my story. And there is this quote, Mother Teresa, that's, I am a tiny pencil in the hand of a writing God, writing my love letter to the world. And what I would say is that is, don't stop writing. So like, if right now you're paralyzed by grief, you're paralyzed by that loss, you're like in the thick of it, like pick up your pencil and start writing your love letter, right? Write it to yourself, write it to your future self, write it to the future generations, because the world needs you, right? The world needs what you have to offer. The world needs, they need your heartbeat. You know, I call my daughter my little heartbeat. Like, she needs my heartbeat, right? And when we live in grief, our heart, it beats slower, right? Mm-hmm. And the world needs your heartbeat. So pick up that pencil and start writing your love letter to the world.
I love that. Yeah, a quote that I always love that I say often is, transitions in life are inevitable, but transforming is up to us. Also,
write that down.
Like, suffering is also a choice, right? And I feel the same as you, is I've had couple of my family members come into me with dreams and they've kind of said the same thing. They're like, you're breaking our heart. Like, we don't want to see you like this. Please live your life, like live your life through us, because that's what they would want. And that's also why I teach this with health, because the greatest way we can show up in the world is if we take care of our body and is if we take care of our health. That's how we can fully express ourselves in this life, is to fully heal and heal your stuff. Like, we all have it, and we have like all the things, all the stuff, you know. So many people, when they come to my fitness classes, they start telling me like their stories, and I just think, just give them so much love. Everyone has things, even when you think like, oh, this person's like, we all have our stuff and we all have our different levels of grief and processing and all of the things. And so give yourself grace, but you have to do the work. That's, I think that's the most thing that sucked, was my realization, like light bulb moment, is like, I was waiting for someone to come rescue me. You know, I'm like, isn't someone like going to come save me? Or like, you know, I was like, oh, I actually have to save myself, you know?
Totally.
I have to do the work. Like, nobody else can do the healing work for me. Like, we have to step into that power and do that. And the thing is, your enoughness is already taken care of, right? Like, we're already enough by our divine creator. It's like, how can we channel this and kind of step into power, you know? And trust me, I know, even if you're crawling, like, even if you're crawling first, like, you know, like clawing, and then we stand up and then we start going and going, it's there for us. So anyway, good stuff. I feel all the feels. Thank you so much for being on with me.
I loved it.
And sharing your story and your insight. I will definitely put all of your tags and how people can find you in the show notes, and also just how you can connect with Dr. Martha Nessler. So anyway, you guys, thanks so much. And we will see you guys on the next episode.
Hi, guys.
Bye. Hey, thanks for listening. Sending you all the good vibes. The podcast can be found on most major podcasting platforms. Subscribe, follow me on social platforms, Facebook at highvibelifestyle.co, Instagram at _highvibemama, and visit my website, highvibemama.com, and download your free manifesto to launch you into living a high vibrational life. Leave a review, and we'll see you in the next episode. We'll be right back.